Hi, and welcome to Couples Therapy in 7 Words. I am your co-host, Judy Alexander, along with Dr. Bruce Chalmer, and this is actually our maiden podcast. So I want to introduce to you my husband, Dr. Bruce Chalmer, who will tell you a little bit about why we're doing this podcast.
Well, thank you, Judy. First of all, we're doing it because I just think it's fun to do. And I hope our listeners will find that it's fun to listen to and also informative. A number of years ago, I started doing a bunch of videos, which you're welcome to watch on my website, brucechalmer.com, about various topics in couples relationships. And the very first one I did 7 or 8 years ago was called Couples Therapy in 7 Words. And of course, when I've mentioned that we're going to be doing this podcast, people have said, well, shouldn't it be over in about 7 words? And do realize that, no, the 7-word formula, which we'll get into in a little while, is a nice structure for talking about a lot of stuff. But it turns out there's quite a bit to say about relationships. So I think what we're going to start out with is we'll say a little bit about ourselves, just so folks know who we are, and then we can get into where the title came from and what this is all about. So I am, as Judy mentioned, Dr. Bruce Chalmer. The doctor part is because I have a PhD in psychology, and I've been a psychologist now for over 25 years in private practice, and I've been working a lot with couples in that time, and that, of course, is where I learned pretty much, you know, I mean, the trainings I've had have been very useful, but really I've learned from working with clients. And I will say one of the things that makes doing this podcast fun is doing this with you, Judy. So why don't you tell folks a little bit about yourself as well?
Okay, well, I've been working in the education field for the past 25 or so years, currently the education director at a local synagogue. I've been a teacher. Before I went into education, I was an advertising copywriter, and I have a background in theater and marketing. So I've been doing a lot of things over the years. And one of the things that I really enjoy doing is working with you and singing with you.
And I suppose another answer to the question, why do we want to do a podcast, is certainly from my perspective, you have such a lovely voice. I love listening to you. And it's part of what I fell in love with. And so we just want to share this stuff with other people. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. So why don't we start off with telling folks what this couples therapy in 7 words is.
Yeah. And that notion of couples therapy in 7 words, the origin story here is this happened, not long after I was in private practice. So probably 20 some years ago, a colleague, I was in a consultation group with some colleagues, and one of the colleagues, just sort of on the way out, said, how do you do couples therapy anyway? Which is kind of a funny question, and I think he thought it was kind of a funny question too, but I thought about it because, you know, it's always interesting to kind of boil it all down, and mm-hmm. I thought about it for a bit, and what I figured was, essentially what I'm telling people is be kind and don't panic. And that worked. That seemed to more or less summarize what I was doing with folks, realizing I had all this, you know, training and different techniques and different schools of thought. But mm-hmm. that pretty much boiled it down. But then I realized after a while, I think it was a few months later, I realized, you know, be kind and don't panic are tied together because the way you be kind is to not panic. But that, of course, raises the question, how do you not panic?
And, yeah, that's true.
And the answer to that is faith. Now, of course, what do I mean by faith? Well, we'll have other programs where we'll get more deeply into all of these things. Mm-hmm. But for now, the essential idea there is that faith is not a particular religion. It's not a particular set of beliefs. It's an orientation to life where basically you accept that whatever reality is, and it's got pain in it, it's got joy and pain and everything in between, but whatever reality is, it's right to be what it is. That's the sense of what faith is. If you are religious, that's pretty similar to, you know, people who are in Western religions, you know, Judaism, Christianity, Islam. It's pretty much like saying, well, God is fundamentally good. But even if you're not religious, that sense that whatever reality is, it's right to be what it is, then you work with it instead of insisting that it be something else. And you can work to change it because you're part of that reality. But that's how you cannot panic. And of course, not panicking is how you can be kind. So that's, you know, that's where the formula came from in the first place. And I've applied that over the years. And of course, that has led into various and sundry other kinds of ways of understanding this work that I have found really useful. And, you know, we were thinking about, like, what should we be talking about in particular today in our first podcast? And there's a moment that happens in my first sessions with couples that happens a lot. I can't say it happens every single time I have a first session with a couple, but it happens a lot where this particular concept that I usually bring out somewhere in the session after I've gotten a lot of various kinds of background information and, of course, talked with people about, you know, what's going on, why are they there. I bring up this particular way of structuring the conversation, and very often couples will say, that just absolutely nails it.
Huh. So what is it that nails it?
I note that we all have, and it, you know, this is not just about being a couple, this is about being a human being, I suppose. One way to look at the whole project of being a human being is to recognize we all have needs, of course. And by needs, I mean things that if they're not fulfilled sufficiently, you feel sick. There's something really wrong. I'm not just talking about desires, I'm talking about needs. And you can divide those needs into two categories. And the reason I bother dividing them into two categories is the skills you need for one category are quite different from the skills you need for the other, and yet you need them both. And just to make it even more fun, the skills you need are somewhat in opposition to each other.
So what are those skills?
So the two sets of needs are, I call them, the one I call stability, the other I call intimacy.
Oh.
So stability and intimacy are these two sets of needs. And they're not the same thing. Basically, and I can sort of boil it down, stability in general is all the various things that we need in order to not be freaking out. It's it's basically the chief skill of stability is the ability to either lower or avoid anxiety. And of course, we all want to avoid anxiety. It's unpleasant. I mean, it's meant to be. It's a message from our body saying, you better do something different. This is not good. You know, maybe you're in danger. You know, maybe you need to fight or flee or freeze or something. So the ability to lower that and avoid it is important. And in a relationship, it's really important to be able to know each other well enough to not press each other's buttons more than you have to. And those are all stability skills. The skills of being able to kind of run the household and you know, get along okay. And I would say most, not all, but most of the couples that come to see me are pretty good at that. You know, they may have issues, of course, but they're pretty good at keeping things going without it becoming a crisis most of the time.
So tell me how that differentiates from intimacy.
So intimacy, the one way, I think a big way of contrasting it with stability is the chief skill, I said the chief skill of stability is lowering or avoiding anxiety.
Right.
The chief skill of intimacy is tolerating anxiety. Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of times people are saying, well, shouldn't intimacy feel good? I mean, if you're having really wonderful intimate moments, be they sexual or otherwise, you know, any kind of and what I mean by intimacy in a very general sense is essential honesty with yourself and each other, emotional honesty, so that you're present with yourself and each other. And again, that could be true, you know, in the domain of sex, but also.
So how does that manifest itself when you're dealing with couples in crisis?
Well, a lot of times I mentioned that most of the folks who come to see me are pretty good at stability.
Yeah.
A lot of times what they come in with, again, obviously everybody has their own story, but a lot of times they'll say, we're fighting about anything and anything, you know, and everything. And sometimes they'll say, we fight about nothing.
Mm.
Or they'll say, you know, something all of a sudden explodes and, you know, somebody has an affair who is the sort of person who, you know, and I've had many people in my office saying, I never would have thought in a million years I'd have an affair, and yet they had an affair. Or somebody saying, I was completely blindsided by the fact that my partner just said they want to leave. Those sorts of things often indicate intimacy issues, because what couples will tend to do, and this is where the skills conflict. And don't get me wrong, you know, I clearly I'm implying intimacy is really important, which it is, but so is stability. So what couples will tend to do as the stakes get higher, you know, they fall in love and they're living together and they're married and maybe they have kids, and doing all those things mean that each other become super important to each other. So the prospect of threatening that is really, really scary. So they will tend to avoid raising anxiety, which, again, that's not a bad thing to do. They mm-hmm. want to avoid raising anxiety because it feels like it's scary. They don't want to threaten the relationship. They don't want to make their partner upset. They don't want to get upset themselves. The problem is, if you shut down part of yourself, which is to say, if there's something you need to bring up with your partner because it's important, maybe it's as simple as, I wish you wouldn't do that, or I wish you would do that. Maybe it's something like, you know, things are okay, but I feel this urge to go deeper in some way. I want to find some way of doing something, like in the domain of sex, again, it comes up. Let's try something different. Or, you know, I'm not sure how you'll feel about that. Or I'm not sure how I'll feel about it. You know, all those sorts of things. Those are scary conversations. Mm-hmm. And if you avoid them long enough and shut down part of yourself long enough, then unfortunately that becomes destabilizing.
Yeah.
So sacrificing intimacy for the sake of stability itself becomes destabilizing.
So I guess what you're saying, it's a cumulative effect that builds up. If you avoid intimacy over the years, it just keeps building and building. And
yeah. And what you see then are people, and my favorite metaphor about this is, stability is the roots of a relationship. It holds it in place. It holds mm-hmm. it firm. Intimacy is the energy for growth. Mm. And if intimacy is cut off, then what happens is it's like a seed planted under a sidewalk.
Yeah.
If it's a living seed, it's going to try and crack the sidewalk or die trying. And often that's basically metaphorically what people do, is they crack the sidewalk. They'll do something that will cause the structure to be threatened, because we as a species can't stand that feeling of not being alive. Mm. And that's what brings a lot of people to my office. So stability and intimacy come up a lot in my conversations with people. And I just want to relate it back to, because we don't want this podcast to be, 3 hours.
Right.
We're trying to keep it a reasonable length of time for you folks. So I bring that back to the 7-word formula: be kind, don't panic, and have faith. Because in order to be kind, you really need, in order to not panic, really, you need really need to have, to be good at both stability and intimacy, and figure out how to balance those things. And so that's a lot of the work of couples therapy, is doing that.
Great. So one of the things that we would like to do is to answer your questions. So Bruce does have a blog that you can write to, and tell us how they could do that.
So if you go to brucechalmer.com, and you'll see there's a tab for blogs, or blog, I guess is what it is. And if you go there, you'll see you can submit a question that way. You can also just send me email, bruce@brucechalmer.com. That's also available via the website. And we would be delighted to get any questions, or of course, you're welcome to suggest topics for us to talk about as well.
So I'd like to read one of the questions that came into your blog. She writes, "My husband and I have been married for 40 years. In the past 40 years, we have been at odds with each other over many things that could have ripped us apart, but we have kept trying. We hurt each other so much that now the wounds are getting deeper and not so easy to let go of. We want to live our lives together forever, but I am so scared that we both have had enough. My mother has lived with us for 10 years, since my father passed away. We hadn't talked about this, and we never dreamed that our lives would have turned out like this. My sister flew the coop and won't ever be a part of our lives again. She has made that perfectly clear with her silence. I was wondering if we could try to get our life on track. It has been off the rails since we stopped dating and became man and wife. I know that a marriage isn't supposed to be this way. Please help us find ourselves again. Please put us back together, because when we are good, we are very, very good." Whoa.
Yeah.
40 years of that, Bruce.
40
wow.
years.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you even begin to address that? What do you say to this couple?
And
or
you know,
this
it's
woman in the couple.
It is interesting. I commented on the blog. You know, I have worked with quite a few couples in that situation, and we kind of picked out this particular one to start with because I think it's a good illustration of that issue of stability and intimacy. Mm-hmm. Because there they are, 40 years together, and she mentioned, you know, her mother moved in and they never talked about it beforehand. And that just, yeah. you know, in my little lexicon, that says, well, that's an intimacy issue. They can't talk to each other about important things. And, you know, for worry about how they each other would respond. And she did say, when it's good, it's very, very good, which is, of course, why people stay in a relationship for 40 years that has. And she also said they've hurt each other very deeply. She didn't say how. I think I commented in my answer on the blog, look, if you're in risk of physical violence, that's a whole different story. That's not an issue for therapy. Even it's a safety issue. You have to get yourself safe before you can think about before you can think about having a good marriage, you have to be safe. But in terms of why she would want to stay together, you know, they love each other. They have this bond that is very real. But they really need to address the intimacy issue. And so, you know, fundamentally, that's what therapy is about. You know, that I think if they can get themselves to a therapist and address the fact that they've been, sounds like, again, I don't know these folks, but it sounds like they've been afraid to talk to each other for decades. That's what it's going to take in order to get there. And that is not an easy course, but it's the one that I think is.
So how do you help couples talk to each other and give them the language that they need to address these issues? Because I think personally that a lot of the problems, why there's this intimacy issue, is people just don't have the language. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you might say something and that's going to trigger somebody or push a button. So how do you say something to get to that intimate place without triggering?
Yeah, great question. And that, of course, I don't think it's the language per se. I think it's the fear. Because if somebody can, it's another one of my little, you know, I say this to people, I've been doing this long enough, I have catchphrases. That feels vaguely pitiful, but there it is, you know. And one of my catchphrases is, you have to learn to get out of sync. You have to learn to be out of sync with your partner. Because if you're afraid to say something for fear your partner won't like it, and of course, that's the thing. If I say something to you and you know, you get upset, then I get upset that you get upset, and then we're in trouble. If I have enough trust in you that I'm willing to upset you, not because I want to be a jerk and upset you, but I'm willing to upset you if I say something important to me that you may or may not like, and I trust your ability to say what you need to say, even if you're upset, then I won't be upset by your being upset. You know, I can have some compassion for being upset, even if I'm the one who upset you.
Mm-hmm. You know, but how do you talk about this with a couple that's has 40 years of this building up?
Pretty much in those terms. You know, the revelation for folks, that's why I said earlier, the whole stability and intimacy dichotomy is often an eye-opener for people. Mm-hmm. Because they often haven't thought about it that way. They haven't recognized, oh, the problem is I'm afraid. They often say they know they're afraid. They often say, you know, I'm walking on eggshells and, you know, I don't know how to bring this up, or right. It's really difficult. But they don't recognize that, again, assuming safety, which is not always a perfect assumption, you know, but assuming basic safety, that if they can go ahead and tolerate the anxiety, another of my catchphrases, by the way, if they can tolerate the anxiety of being honest, mm-hmm. and grant their partner that same privilege, do you know what I mean? Tolerate the anxiety of being honest, and don't freak out if your partner doesn't like what you say. Then they can sometimes find each other. And this, maybe we can kind of end this bit of the conversation on this note. The thing about intimacy, and I don't, you know, you know me well enough to know I'm not exactly a mystic. You know, that I'm not New Agey, I'm not a mystic, that's not where I come from. But the thing about intimacy is that when couples are having an intimate conversation, there is a synergy that happens there. They're more than the sum of their parts. They are creative in ways that neither is going to be on their own. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always feel good, because they may be dealing with, you know, something that is an existential threat to the marriage. You know, sometimes an intimate conversation can produce a result where people will say, oh my God, we're two good people and we even love each other, but we can't be together. That's a painful thing that sometimes people have to get to. But that's a very intimate moment. Uh-huh. And, of course, in happier circumstances, those intimate moments lead people to reconnect. They'd say, oh, my God, I knew I loved you. You know, where have we been all this time? Not where have you been or I been, but where have we been all? Well, now here we are again. You know, when they...
Showing up.
When they can make that intimate, when they don't feel afraid anymore. Mm-hmm. So.
Great. Well, thank you. I think, as I said earlier, we would love to hear your questions. So please feel free to write in.
That would be at bruce@brucechalmer.com by email, or just visit brucechalmer.com. You can go to the blog. There's a way to contact me there. You can do that. So, Judy, tell us about our plan for the next program.
Okay, so next podcast will have the theme, I Am My Beloved's, and My Beloved is Mine. Now, those of you who are up to date on your Bible might recognize that from the Song of Songs. And it's a lovely, beautiful quote, and we will talk more about it next time.
And I just mentioned, this is not a biblical podcast. We're not going to be dwelling on biblical interpretation. But that is happens to be, we can segue this into a bit of a shameless plug for my book.
Mm-hmm.
That is the chapter one title, because we're going to be taking the topics that are in the book, more or less in order. That's why I put them in that order, because they do make a certain amount of sense. And that's the first part of the discussion of the first part of the seven-word formula, be kind. Be kind, don't panic, and have faith. This is under the heading of be kind. What does it mean to be kind? And we'll talk more about that.
So, you know, you talked about your book, but tell us what it's called.
What a great idea. I think I'll do that. Yes, it's called Reigniting the Spark: Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back. You notice the theme of stability and intimacy in there. It is available. Well, all the information about how to get it is there on my website, brucechalmer.com. It's available on Amazon. It's available on Barnes & Noble. It's available any place, at your local bookstore, wherever books are sold, as they say. And also the audiobook is available as well. And obviously, I highly recommend it. And it covers, of course, a lot of the topics that we're talking about in this podcast.
Well, thank you so much for listening. And I hope you'll come back. And as I said, tell your friends about this and write us with your questions. So thank you so much. And remember, be kind.
Don't panic.
And have faith.